This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back into the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Hal Schurz, and we come to you each week to share with you healthcare topics that doctors discuss amongst ourselves and that many of you are concerned about. Our show is sponsored by the Docs for Patient Care Foundation, which is an organization dedicated to preserving the doctor-patient relationship and for fighting for our patients to ensure that all of us have the healthcare freedom that we need and the opportunity to choose the treatments that we want, that we need, to be able to select the doctor that we want to see and decide where we want to be taken care of. Most of us have taken this for granted because we are Americans and we have the best healthcare system in the world. But on the path that we are currently on, it appears that these privileges will not be available to a good part of our population. We have touched on many issues over the last few months on our shows, most of them being provocative yet critical for anyone who desires an understanding of the nuances and the intricacies of healthcare. It will give you insight into how doctors think about these problems and why if you explore some of the previous shows. The information that we share with you each week gives you the ammunition that you need to fight your own battles for your healthcare freedom and to be able to counter the nonsense arguments that statists have, people who wish to control your healthcare and make decisions for you. You need the facts to back up the arguments against people like this, and that's what we try to do in the Doctor's Lounge. We've given a lot of thought into the shows that we broadcast, and if any of you have missed these shows, I urge you to go back into the archives, or if you're new listeners, look at the previous shows on the website and listen to them, because it contains incredibly important information that you need to have and understand. And I guarantee that if you listen to all the information that's presented in these shows, you will come away with a knowledge base about healthcare that's hard to match and impossible to get in any book or any monograph. This week, I am going to depart from my usual format, which is to invite a guest in to chat about a topic. And instead, I wanted to talk about an issue that's very important for you to come away with an understanding of as to why we find ourselves in the healthcare pickle that we're all facing. In trying to come up with a show for today, I gave some consideration into talking about healthcare news. It's a feature that I'd like to introduce into the Doctor's Lounge on a somewhat regular basis. Every week we see a number of articles in the paper and information in the news about healthcare issues that everybody is thinking about or talking about. I think that the most a visible healthcare item, of course, is this Ebola crisis that is facing the world and the importation of two of the Ebola patients into the United States for treatment. That would be a great topic to talk about. Or the VA settlement in the in Congress and the bill that was passed in both houses of Congress for emergency measures to help with the veterans. That is something that is near and dear to me as someone who's trained at a VA hospital and written about it in the May Wall Street Journal. So I would like to address healthcare issues at some point, but we're going to talk about something a little bit different today. Whenever I seem to be in a gathering of non-medical people or giving a healthcare talk to non-medical groups, invariably someone comes up to me and will say to me, "Doctor, why did the doctors of America allow this to happen?" Meaning Obamacare. In fact, back in 2009, when I was listening to talk radio, as I often do, there was an outcry from many of the talk show hosts, where were the doctors? Why was the federal government, why was the Obama administration assailing the medical profession and trying to do an end around and implement a system that seemingly was not going to work, and people were wondering where were the doctors. Another question that I get asked regularly is, the doctors have their union, don't they? That's the AMA, or the American Medical Association, and they seem to be for Obamacare, so isn't that what most of the doctors believe? And why is there a disconnect then between what the AMA is saying and what doctors believe? And so, in giving this some thought, I felt that it was important to share with you, our listening audience, the real 411 about the AMA and about doctors' attitudes, so that you understand why I think we are in the healthcare crisis that we're facing right now. So let's start out by talking about the AMA. So the AMA is not a doctor's union. The AMA is an association. At one point in history, the AMA was extremely important, very powerful. In fact, in the early 1960s, the AMA's one of their major spokespeople was the eventual president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, who supported the efforts of the AMA because they were trying to keep the federal government out of health care. And there was a huge fight going on at that time about Medicare, whether or not there should be a program where the federal government took care of senior citizens. Now, I'm not going to get into a debate about that today, but you just need to understand that this was perceived by the leaders of the AMA back in the early 60s as a slippery slope, which indeed it has become. And we are in large part facing the healthcare crisis that we're facing today because of the federal government's involvement in healthcare. At that time, back in the early 60s, about 75% of the doctors in this country, perhaps even more, belonged to the AMA because they felt that the AMA represented their interests, that this was an organization that was fighting for them. Well, fast forward to 2014. The AMA reports that 18% of the maybe 800,000 to 900,000 doctors in this country belong to the AMA. However, if you do the math and you critically analyze the data, you subtract out people who aren't practicing medicine anymore or who never have practiced medicine, people who have retired, medical students, doctors in training, like residents and fellows. If you take those out of the mix, the number is more like 8 to 12%. So how can the AMA speak for the majority of doctors in this country? So why has the AMA membership dwindled to these levels? Well, I think that the Medicare battle, which was lost back in the early 60s, was certainly a factor. It was the first major blow that the AMA suffered in supporting the doctors in this country. But I think a bigger problem has been that the AMA leadership has drifted into a more left-of-center agenda, which emphasizes social justice instead of representing its membership. And this change in its mission has alienated doctors who wanted an organization that would fight battles for them and not throw doctors under the bus. And you must understand that if the doctors are not out there able to support themselves, support their practices, then there is going to be nobody out there fighting for your healthcare needs, your interests as patients. And so the health of the physician population in this country very much influences what kind of health care you're going to get in the future. Another big problem with the AMA and what has transpired has to do with how they get their money. And that, I think, is a important distinction that needs to be emphasized to people. So let's talk about that for just a second. We all, in medicine, use coding systems to get paid. We have to assign a code to a diagnosis. And if we do a treatment or provide a service, in order to get paid by an insurance company or by the federal government, there also is a code that's assigned to that particular service. And it is centralized so that we're all talking the same language, and it's called the CPT coding system, or current procedural terminology. Now, without getting into the weeds and confusing people, because that's not what I intend to do, you need to understand that this is a monopoly, and the AMA owns this monopoly. Now, why is this a monopoly? Well, it's a copyright, CPT, and all of the insurance companies, all of the hospitals, all of the doctors, all of the ancillary medical services, they have to use the CPT coding system if they want to get paid. That's how it's gone, because over 95% of medical services are administered through a third-party payer. So they rely on this coding system in order to get paid. Now, the AMA holds this registered trademark. It is a monopoly. Entities have challenged this. They've tried to compete against the AMA and to institute new systems so that there could be competition in the medical reimbursement marketplace. And each time that a challenge has been levied against the CPT coding system that the AMA owns, the AMA has gone to court to challenge it. And the AMA has very deep pockets. They are very well endowed financially. And each time that they've gone to court to challenge it, the AMA has won. So why is the AMA fighting tooth and nail to preserve this monopoly, this coding system? Well, when we come back, I will explain to you what the benefit to the AMA is of maintaining this CPT monopoly. This is Dr. Hal Schurz on America's Web Radio in the Doctor's Lounge.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Susan Blank, Medical Director for the Atlanta Healing Center. Our team is able to offer a multitude of treatment options, such as quantitative EEG, also known as brain mapping, hormonal and nutritional assessments, neuropsychological testing, and cognitive therapy, along with traditional 12-step facilitation. And we can even offer you, if appropriate, a gentle, medically managed detox. Please contact us at 770-696-9862.
This is Dr. George. Join me on Wednesday mornings from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock when we talk about more than medicine. It's now about staying healthy, but it's about the strategy to do so. Join me on Medicine on Call.
Welcome back into the Doctor's Lounge. This is Dr. Hal Schurz. We've been talking about the AMA. We've been talking about why doctors are not members of the AMA. And the AMA, we were talking about in the last segment, owns the copyright to the system known as CPT, or current procedural terminology, which is the system that we all rely on in order to get paid. Every entity in healthcare relies on using this system, which the AMA owns and operates as a monopoly. Now, the federal government has allowed the AMA to maintain this monopoly because they have systems of health care, Medicare, Medicaid, VA, American Indian health care system. All of those systems use third-party reimbursements outside of the federal government and inside the federal government, the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Services, CMS. And the federal government gets those CPT services for free. Now, the CPT, you don't have to pay when you use a CPT coding, but what the AMA has done is every year they have a convention, they have a conference where people who represent all of the specialties, all of the services attend and lobby to get their codes on there or to try to get increased reimbursement through another system, which, and this is again getting into the weeds and I'm not trying to do that, but the point is that every year this system, coding system gets updated, and when it gets updated, there needs to be manuals and there needs to be training courses online or live where people who are responsible for coding, which is an industry in and of itself, they need to be brought up to speed. They have to have refresher courses and they have to buy the new manuals or the new computer programs that come out. Well, the federal government doesn't pay for that. That's the quid pro quo of allowing the AMA to operate an unregulated, uncontested monopoly. But everybody else pays for it. So my office has to pay for it. The hospitals have to pay for it. Everybody else in healthcare has to pay to be brought up to speed with the latest codes, the latest terminology. And that is a lucrative business. What that generates for the AMA every year will allow it to stay in business forever. The tax returns from 2010, I believe 2012 is up now, but the ones that I've looked at are 2010, and that's in the public domain. Those tax returns allow you to look and see what public companies or organizations claim on their tax returns, and the AMA has claimed that they have generated between $80 and $100 million annually, being able to operate the ancillary businesses surrounding the CPT coding system. So this is an enormous cash cow. It is an income stream that they are dependent on. So they don't need doctors. They don't have to have doctors belonging to their society, their association, in order to stay in business. They can stay in business simply by operating the CPT coding system. And historically, the AMA has been associated with representing doctors. So the truth is that they no longer have the membership that would support the claim that they represent the doctors, but historically they have, and most people are ignorant of the fact that they don't represent the doctors, but they still purport themselves to do so and come out with statements about different healthcare issues or policies, and the public is fairly convinced that if the AMA is saying these things, then it must be true and the doctors are behind it, and that's simply not the case. So why am I telling you all this? Well, when it came time for Obamacare to be passed, initially the AMA was not in favor of it, but something changed between their initial position and their subsequent position, where they backed it and came out for it. And the only thing that people who are paying attention, who understand the nuances and intricacies of associations like the AMA and healthcare policy can conclude is that the pressure was put on the AMA to support the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, and if they didn't, they would lose their monopoly that the federal government has upheld in federal court time and time again. And if one looks at surveys that have been done asking doctors if they support Obamacare or not, one that comes to mind right off the bat is one done by Jackson and Coker. They do them annually, and the number of doctors who do not support Obamacare ranges from 60 to 75%. So clearly, there's a huge disconnect between the AMA and the rank and file doctors in this country. So that's part of the reason why we find ourselves in this pickle, and answers the question, well, why are we in this mess? How could you doctors allow this to happen? We didn't, but the group that people who are not insiders look toward medical information has come out in support of this. So what are some other problems that we face as a healthcare community that has allowed us to get into this mess? And that is, and beside the fact that the AMA no longer represents doctors and we don't speak with a single voice, instead what this has resulted in is the fragmentation of leadership for physicians in America. So no longer is the AMA speaking with a single voice that will support the needs of physicians and our patients, but rather we now have been divided into tribes, into specialties, and each one of the specialty societies is charged with looking after the doctors in their specialty, and they do a pretty good job, I have to admit, but what that has resulted in is at least 24 specialties all fighting for a little bit bigger piece of what they're told is a shrinking medical pie. We want, you know, one more dollar of reimbursement for the procedure that we do from the federal government, from the Medicare program. And instead of all the doctors getting together and realizing that we're in the same boat and we need to be talking with one voice, they've pitted us against each other, and quite successfully, I must add. And so this is really a big problem, because now instead of the doctors working together, we're working against each other. Another reason why we're in this mess is because instead of the AMA trying to strengthen medicine, they're actually inadvertently weakening it. How are they doing that? Well, the federal government in Obamacare has given people who aren't doctors pretty much the same kind of status as doctors. People like nurse practitioners, physician's assistants, anesthetists, physical therapists, optometrists, psychologists, pharmacists. Now, I'm not saying these are not all important people and all important parts of the healthcare delivery team, but what the statists, those who want to control healthcare in this country, would like everyone to believe is that the healthcare that is provided by this group of people is equivalent to that provided by doctors, and that just ain't so. And no matter what fairy tale. Somebody would like to tell you about that. It is a huge difference between the care that a nurse practitioner, let's say, gives to a patient and a doctor gives to a patient. Now, sometimes that care may be better because a nurse practitioner may be able to focus on giving you, as a patient, more individualized care that will be pertinent to your particular problem. Somebody taking care of your colostomy, or somebody taking care of your looking at your blood pressure every day for a week. The problem is that the fund of knowledge that doctors have to have versus those people who are non-physician healthcare providers is vast. It's enormous, and so the care that they deliver is not the same. But because there's such an incredible doctor shortage, number one, because the care that's given by physicians is more expensive than the care given by non-physician healthcare providers, people who are paying for healthcare, third-party payers, would like to pay as little as possible for that care, and they'd like people to believe that the care is equivalent. So this is the fairy tale that's being perpetrated on everyone. And instead of the AMA being able to come out and say that the care is not equivalent, like I have just done for you, they are trying to find equivalence in the care. And again, the AMA fails in their mission to represent the physicians and rather has fallen back on their new role, which is to be the arbiter of social justice in healthcare. And so we find ourselves as physicians fighting against efforts, lobbying efforts by well-organized groups. All of the groups that I've mentioned are trying to gain extra foothold, extra turf, and diminish the role of physicians in this country. And so with that diminishment in role, there is less authority, less ability for physicians to fight back against those forces that are trying to wrestle the healthcare away from physicians and the decisions away from the American patients. And so this is another huge reason why we're finding ourselves in the predicament that we're in. But another reason that I must share with you has to do with the fact that as physicians, we have been beaten down for so many years. Medicine is the most regulated profession in America, and it costs doctors a lot of money, a lot of time, and a lot of energy, and it is taking its toll on physicians. And so when we come back in the next segment, I'm going to wrap up the why we're in this predicament, but I'm going to try to then move on to what is possible and give you some optimism. This is Dr. Hal Schurz on America's Web Radio in the Doctor's Lounge.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, two blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. George. Join me Wednesday mornings for Medicine on Call and participate in a lively conversation. Learn what's happening behind the headlines in medicine. Understand Obamacare. And learn how to protect yourself and navigate the system.
Hi, I'm back. This is Hal Schurz on America's Web Radio in the Doctor's Lounge. And we've been talking about why we are in the healthcare mess we're currently facing. And I was getting ready to wrap that part of this discussion up by explaining to people that doctors are just beaten down today. And Let me fast forward. In 2010, that was a critical year because that was the year that more doctors worked for hospitals than they worked for themselves. That's when the lines crossed. And so when doctors are no longer working for themselves, but they're working for a boss, a hospital or an insurance company or someone else, they're not working for you. They've got somebody else to answer to. When they work for themselves, then their primary interest are you, the patients. And you need to remember that because on the trajectory we're on, private practice of healthcare is going to disappear. And people are going to get their healthcare from hospitals, from places where it's the corporate delivery of healthcare. And so this leads into doctors are doing this because we are beaten down and not because we don't care, but because we just don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. We are being regulated by the government, by third-party payers, telling doctors how much they can get paid for the work that they do. And this is really taking its toll on physicians and, quite honestly, making doctors retire earlier or not want to work harder to try to fight against this system. And it is discouraging some of the brightest people from going into medicine, and they're going into other industries. My children are not going into medicine. My wife and I are both surgeons, and our children will not become doctors, and that was not true in other generations. People like me and my wife, we would encourage our kids to go into medicine, but that's just not happening with the frequency that it did in prior years, and that's because we are concerned and worried about the trajectory of healthcare in this country right now on the path that we're on. Finally, why aren't doctors fighting back harder? Well, doctors don't play well together. They have big egos. They believe that they're the smartest people in the room always and always have the right answers. And when people confront them with information that's discordant, that's different than what they believe, they shut down. And they don't support entities or causes that would help them out. The average physician in this country gives over $100 a year, $100 to support entities that would look out for their interests, political action committees, political candidates, societies. Contrast that with trial lawyers. The average trial lawyer in this country gives between $5,000 and $10,000 a year to support their causes. So it's no surprise that we have the malpractice system that we have in this country, which is completely upside down and backwards and flawed, and a big part of the reason why we're in the mess we're in. So I promised you some optimism, and on this show every week we often talk about problems that we have in healthcare, and so maybe a lot of people are anxious to learn about this and are happy hearing a physician talk about the doom and gloom in healthcare. And quite honestly, I get tired of that. I'm an optimist by nature, and I really want to see people try to fix this problem, which is why I got started in medical advocacy and got involved in healthcare policy and in politics, because I truly believe that there can be changes that are positive for healthcare in this country that will help patients, that will preserve the healthcare system that we have right now. Sure, the healthcare system has warts. It has flaws. There are problems. But the problems aren't with the kind of care that people are getting. This is the best healthcare system in the world. And those who throw out those tired old criticisms about the American healthcare system being a terrible healthcare system, one of the worst, they're using the kind of data that statists and socialists around the country, around the world, love to throw out. Data that's generated by the World Health Organization, not data that's pertinent to you and your family about the quality of care that you get in this country. Why would people from all over the world come to the United States to get their health care if it was one of the worst? Why would doctors from all over the world flock here to get trained? It's not because it's the worst healthcare system. It's because it's the best healthcare. We have the best system. People like to throw out facts like, well, look at the infant mortality in the United States. It's number 32. Well, what people don't realize is that in most countries around the world, when a baby is born prematurely and dies, they don't count that in their statistics. And so if a baby is 38 weeks and dies, which happens quite often in third world countries, well, that doesn't count against their infant mortality data. In the United States, there have been miracles that have occurred on a daily basis where babies that are no larger than the palm of my hand, 23 weekers, and I do pediatric urology, so I see these babies every single day. These babies survive. Now, yeah, they have problems, and that's another discussion entirely about what we should be doing as a society for these kinds of problems. But nonetheless, these babies survive in the United States. And when a 22-weeker who's in the nursery fails to survive, succumbs to their problems, they're counted in the infant mortality data in this country. So when people give you this information, you have to ask yourself, is this real? Is this information that is really true, or is this somebody giving you this data with an agenda? Because that's what's really happening. If you people like to throw out data about longevity, about about lifespan, how the United States lifespan does not fare well against that of others in this around the world. Well, you know, we have problems in this country that a lot of countries don't have that are based on our prosperity, like obesity and other problems that stem from a sedentary society, diabetes, high blood pressure. But if you throw out just two things, throw out homicides and throw out deaths by traffic accident, we have the largest driving population in the world. If you throw those out, the lifespan of Americans is among the top in the world. It's in the top three. And so, again, data can be manipulated. As a professor of mine often said, 86.3% of all data is made up. And I think that that's a lesson that we all have to have. So what I'd like to share with you for the remainder of the show are positive things. What's possible? In 2010, the organization that I founded, Docs for Patient Care, came out with our prescription for healthcare reform. And this prescription has been widely received and disseminated, and people in Washington have looked at this and incorporated it into their own healthcare policies. Paul Ryan, for example, is one of the people who has incorporated our ideas into his way of thinking. And when I sat down with him in his office and gave him a prescription, he looked at it and said, "Oh yeah, I have all of this stuff. This is all the things I believe." And nobody was talking about it before we came out with it in 2010. And these are not necessarily copyrighted ideas that Docs for Patient Care have. These are common sense ideas, but they make sense. And if you look at them as a whole, this is the way that we can really reform our healthcare system. I think it's based on some guiding principles. I think that the most important is that all Americans must have access to an insurance market that does not discriminate based on tax status. Right now, people who are employed and get their insurance from their employer, well, they get preferential treatment compared to somebody who's self-employed and has to buy their own insurance. And so that's a problem. Everybody should be treated equally, and if they are, then that will create a level playing field where we can start. Health insurance isn't insurance, and everybody who has insurance understands what I'm talking about. It's become a prepaid healthcare plan. It's not like auto insurance. If you have auto insurance, they don't pay for your oil changes. They don't pay for your tires. They pay for an accident. They pay for things that go terribly wrong. Well, that's not what happens with healthcare. With healthcare, you go to a doctor and you expect them to pay for your visit to the doctor. You expect them, your insurance, to pay for an antibiotic. It's become prepaid health. If we are going to rein in healthcare costs and fix this system, we've got to get the third party payers out of healthcare, and people have to assume more responsibility for the costs involved with healthcare. And that's possible. And we've talked about that on prior shows when we had one of our guests, Dr. Lee Gross, on, who talked about the direct primary care model and how people can get health care for very low cost. And when you couple that with a catastrophic policy, which costs very little, health care can actually be very affordable for most Americans. It does not need to be expensive. Unfortunately, the health care policies that are written today contain mandates that are either created by state health insurance commissioners or by the federal government. And so we're all paying for every single one of those mandates, and it drives up the cost of insurance, and that's why it's so high. I think that when we connect healthcare insurance with a place of business, it locks people into their job. So people have to stay in jobs that they don't like because they're afraid they're going to lose their insurance if they move on to another job. And that just is a situation that can't continue. People need to own their healthcare policies, and it has to be independent of the job that they have. And once they're able to do that, that opens up all kinds of possibilities so that we can create a market for insurance that will be devoid of the pressure of staying on a job. We've got some other options for healthcare reform that are contained in our prescription, the Docs for Patient Care healthcare reform prescription that I will share with you in the final segment. This is Hal Schurz on America's Web Radio in the Doctor's Lounge.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know skipping doses of medication can be dangerous? If you have a chronic medical condition like diabetes or high blood pressure, it's important to take the medication prescribed by your physician. It is also important to remember that although you take a medicine to treat a condition, it is not a cure for the underlying medical condition. It is used to control it. For example, taking medication for diabetes will lower your blood sugar. However, if you stop taking the medication, the sugar will rise again. Changes in both diet and lifestyle, like adding exercise to your routine, are equally important. Working with your physician by following his or her recommendations is the key to controlling your disease and maintaining your health. Ask questions if you don't understand something. Taking control of your health is the key to wellness. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
With all the back and forth in today's politics, it seems as though the Constitution gets lost in the mix. If you want to brush up on your Constitution, then join Michael Conley every Wednesday from 4 to 5 p.m. for the show Our Constitution on AmericasWebRadio.com.
Certification. Do you know why becoming a certified healthcare consumerism specialist is more important than ever in 2014? Adding this specialized designation to your credentials tells employers or your clients that you understand how much our industry has changed and how to navigate that change successfully. IHC University's certification program offers coursework both online and live at their biannual forum conference series, and testing is completed online. Reaffirm your position as a leader in the health and benefit management industry. Download our certification overview and learn more at www.theihcc.com. That's www.theihcc.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mike Karuchak. Join me and my co-host, Dr. Hal Schertz, every Thursday morning at 8 a.m. and listen to the Doctor's Lounge, where you get a private insight into the conversations that doctors have amongst themselves. Join us Thursday, 8 a.m. every week.
Hal Schertz back in the Doctor's Lounge, and we've been going through some things that hopefully will give people some optimism about what's possible in healthcare, and it comes out of the Docs for Patient Care prescription for healthcare reform. And I'd be remiss if I didn't give a plug once again for the Docs for Patient Care Foundation, which is a sponsor for the Doctor's Lounge, which is an offshoot of the membership organization Docs for Patient Care. It is a foundation that was created by Doctors for Patients, and it's dedicated to the preservation of the doctor-patient relationship, and we fight for healthcare freedom and try to teach the lessons and give the information necessary to all of you so that you can go out and do battle against those that wish to take away your healthcare freedom. We were talking about some of the aspects of the prescription for healthcare reform that was created by Docs for Patient Care back in 2010 and revised in 2014. And we got through talking about some of the insurance issues and ways to try to revamp that and level the playing field. Another principle that needs to be addressed in a prescription for healthcare reform to fix things would be to transition some of the federal programs, Medicare, Medicaid, SCHIP, into fiscally responsible programs that would support individuals in need, and at the same time give them consumer choice. And the way that you do that is to make them market-sensitive programs. You have to have people who have skin in the game. If they have if their health care doesn't cost them anything and they have absolutely no skin in the game, I like to use that reference, then the health care really has no value to them, and they will abuse it and they will not use it appropriately as a consumer would use their own money in making discriminatory decisions about how to spend that money. And that's what people need to do. In some states where some consumer responsibility was injected into healthcare, like in Indiana, where people have to pay a very small, very modest copay for Medicaid, the utilization was reined in, delivering healthcare in the more expensive places, like emergency rooms, was curtailed and shifted to more cost-effective and efficient ways of giving healthcare, like community clinics. And that's what needs to be done with these systems. Otherwise, these programs will either bankrupt our country or will disappear. Right now, there's over $40 trillion, with a T, $40 trillion in unfunded liabilities projected for the Medicare population in this country. Just recently, the CBO revisited their estimates for when Medicare would go bankrupt, and that has just recently been revised to 2020. But that's going to depend on the viability of Medicare. Will depend either on the severe cuts to the system, and Obamacare has called for just that, $714 billion in cuts to Medicare over 10 years. Now, we started with Obamacare in 2010, so that means in the next 6 years they'll cut out $700 billion in Medicare. Or we have to make people a little bit better consumers of Medicare and give them skin in the game. There needs to be some means testing. There needs to be certain graduated costs if they want to get different services like Medicare Advantage, which is a Medicare product that's being phased out of the Medicare system according to Obamacare, but something that has worked very well and probably should be preserved. Another way that we fix this system of ours is to reform the medical malpractice system, and I've devoted an entire show to that. We had Dr. Jeff Siegel speaking about a system called the patient compensation system. It's been well outlined on their website, which is Patients for Fair Compensation, which I urge everyone to go to and look at. And this is not the only way, but it's a step in the right direction to fix the very broken malpractice system that we have that accounts for about $400 to $600 billion annually in unnecessary costs that are claimed because of defensive medicine to keep doctors from being sued. Health information technology. We've heard about this from my co-host every other week. Dr. Michael Karuchik talks about issues. He and I bring you the Doctor's Lounge every week, and he is an expert in health information technology. This is one of the biggest boondoggles in healthcare that has been perpetrated on the country, and he can talk about that much better than I can. But that has to be fixed, and right now we have a completely dysfunctional health information technology sector that is not ready for prime time and yet has been legislated with the stroke of a pen as to being necessary and an important integral part of the new paradigm in healthcare. And while I agree that health information technology is important, and there is going to be incredible improvements in healthcare because of health information technology, we're not there yet. And so that has to be fixed in order to revamp healthcare and get a handle on things. States need to be empowered to be the laboratories for implementing and fixing healthcare. And that's been done in some states. Indiana has certainly been a leader in that. Massachusetts tried to do that. Unfortunately, the political rhetoric has been such that Massachusetts is held out as a shining example for how things can work in healthcare when, in fact, Masscare has been a pretty dismal failure. And Obamacare is patterned after Masscare, and it's not working. But that's okay. You can have a state that tries something, and if it works, then that's great. If it doesn't work, then don't try to roll it out for other states to implement. Learn from it. And that's what we need to do. We need to have the states act as the laboratories for healthcare innovation. physicians have to be freed from burdensome and ineffective regulation that the government has put on each one of our offices. Every single regulation, every single attempt to control the behavior of doctors is hurting you, the patients, because it is making it impossible for us to give you the kind of care, give you the kind of attention that you deserve. It's diverting our attention, our time, our financial resources away from what is important, which is real health care delivery, and we're wasting all of that on silly government regulations. Yes, there are bad apples in health care. There's no industry, there's no profession that does not have people in it who are profiteering or who don't have the best interests of our patients in mind. But that is a distinct minority, and we don't blow up a system or we don't put shackles on a system to protect everybody from a very tiny minority of people out there who can hurt you. It's up to you as consumers to try to discern who's good, who's not good. Talk to people, word of mouth, just like any other business in this country. And the cream rises to the top, and the best doctors will thrive, and they'll be able to provide that care for you if given the opportunity. But right now, it's been a very difficult road to hoe, and it's getting worse. Obamacare has created 159 new agencies, bureaus, bureaucracies with controls over physicians and over you that you don't even know about yet. And we'll devote other shows in the future to talk about some of those regulations and some of those boards with names like IPAB or PCORI, which are agencies that look at regulating the kind of care that doctors can give to patients based on what somebody in the government tells us we can give you. Charity care is an important part of healthcare delivery, and doctors are great at giving charity care. I give a tremendous amount of care, and if it seems like I don't know what I'm talking about in terms of healthcare information or walking the walk or talking the talk, I take care of children. And in Georgia, where I practice, 50% of the children are on Medicaid. Medicaid does not reimburse doctors even enough to cover our overhead. And yet, we take care of Medicaid population in Georgia in my specialty, pediatric urology, because nobody else is there. We're the only pediatric urology group in the state. And if we didn't do it, nobody would do it. So doctors rise to the occasion. They really do give the care that's necessary for patients out in the community. But there needs to be a way to encourage other doctors to give more. And that can easily be done by allowing doctors to take tax deductions or giving them the ability to offset some of the costs, free them from some of the regulations that the government has put on them, malpractice protection. And if those things were implemented, then I think that there would be a new day for healthcare in this country. And these are just some simple, common sense it's an outline. This is just the basic principles of what is possible. 2014 will be a defining year for healthcare, I believe, and it's going to start at the ballot boxes in November. And this is an apolitical show, and I don't want to interject politics because Docs for Patient Care Foundation, which sponsors this show, is an apolitical foundation. We're an information organization. We just tell it like it is, and give you, our patients, the information that you need to preserve your healthcare freedom. Well, right now, your healthcare freedom is at risk, and you need to look at supporting candidates who run for office who are going to be looking out for your health care freedom. And you need to do a little bit of work. You need to dig a little bit and find out what their positions are on health care. If they've supported Obamacare, quite honestly, they are not looking out for your health care freedom. So you need to really advocate for yourself and make the right decisions. And I hope that we help you make the right decisions in the Doctor's Lounge. This is Dr. Hal Schurz, and I'll be back with you in 2 weeks. Thank you very much.